Good morning and welcome to all, particularly our guests who join us here today for the offering of this Mass, particularly our guests that are with us on this long holiday weekend for Labor Day. Know that you're always welcome to be with us any time in the future. You can tell by the announcements in the bulletin, we're beginning this week, go back into kind of full throttle for all of our parishy activities with our religious formation for our children and youth beginning next Sunday, the rite of Christian initiation of adults beginning this Wednesday. So if you know somebody who is interested in knowing more about our Catholic faith, who may be unchurched or doesn't have a church home, or if you know somebody who's been away from the Catholic, been away from the church, invite them to come and be with us on Wednesday evening for as we discuss and share about the beauty of our Catholic faith. Please also know we've got our Theology Uncorked this Thursday, and we're going to restart our men's breakfast and Bible study that will begin on Thursday the 15th of this month. I'll be available to hear confessions this week on Tuesday from 6 to 7, Wednesday from 5 to 6. Also, that I will be visiting two of our area schools to visit for lunch with our students and faculty or Madeline parishioners. I'll be at Lanier School on Thursday and Hoover on Friday. So I have to check what's on the menu to see what's on the menu or do I brown bag and bring my own lunch. We will see. Our condolences today go out to two of our parish families, Richard DeYoung for the recent death of his mother, Frances, and also for Rosemary Carlish. Her sister, Suzanne Reed, died this last week, and Suzanne's funeral arrangements will take place here at the Madeleine. There'll be a rosary for her on Tuesday evening at 7, and her funeral mass here at the Madeleine Wednesday at 1 o'clock. So let's pray for the souls of our beloved dead will be at rest and be numbered among the saints, and condolences for those who mourn. Eternal rest grant unto them, O Lord, and let perpetual light shine upon them. May their souls and the souls of all the faithful departed, to the mercy of God, rest in peace. Amen. Also today, congratulations for some of our parish families. Congratulations to Rebecca Griggs and Jordan Gaines, who last night were united in the sacrament of marriage at St. Francis Xavier Parish. A wonderful celebration. You filled the church, literally. So congratulations to them and for their family members that are certainly here with us at Mass today. That they are in our prayers as they now begin out to live out the sacrament of marriage. Also congratulations to Madeline Prisher Joe Fritsch. He is a candidate for the permanent diaconate. A week from today, he will be installed as an acolyte, which is a position we and his class in preparation for their God willing ordination to the permanent diaconate sometime next year. Joe is going to be speaking here in a few moments about a special programs they're going to be offering here this month about spirituality, how to pray. It's one of the things that in the Pew surveys that we've done, asking for what we can do help people grow in their Catholic faith. We've now got the Theology Uncorked. We're going to have a thing about the Divine Mercy Chaplet devotion this month as well. And now also about the Ignatian spirituality, which Joe will tell us about here shortly. Well, the big news for today is yesterday's big earthquake. 5.6, centered near Pawnee, small town to the northwest of here. I know some people were jolted out of bed, literally. I was jolted out of my morning coffee at that time. What began as I'm thinking, like, well, I've never heard the refrigerator make that kind of sound before. And then it gets worse as I can realize, oh, this is an earthquake. And I felt a couple of them before, but this one certainly was far more serious. And to the point, if it had gone on any longer, I was going to get up from the table and walk out on the back porch. I think maybe inside is not the place to be if the house is rattling like this. It certainly got our attention. My mom of these such things, she likes to say when they happen, like, maybe God's trying to get our attention. Maybe we need to listen. Perhaps there's something to that. The things that do get our attention, sometimes they are earthquakes to shake us up. And also, I have to admit, after that experience yesterday morning at 7:03, sitting there kind of taking it all in, there was some fear. This uncertainty, the ground's not supposed to do this. We call it terra firma for a reason. So when it shakes, it kind of does rattle us, gets our attention. There's some serious things that we need to look at. And getting our attention, that can take many different forms. Earthquakes, yes, along with storms, tornadoes, floods, droughts, and so on. Words can also get our attention. Words and images. Advertising is all about grabbing our attention, holding it, and getting it, wanting to go out and to buy something. Other words as well want to get our attention. Among them, the words that we hear from Jesus in today's gospel. Another one of those challenging sayings from Him to get our attention about what it means to be a disciple, what it means to be the church, what it means to carry the cross every day and follow Him. If anyone comes to me without hating father, mother, spouse, children, brothers and sisters, and even one's own life, you can't be my disciple. Those who cannot pick up the cross every day and follow me cannot be my disciple. Jolting words. Hopefully they get our attention. For there's some things we need to pay attention to. With these words, we see that any attempt to make Jesus into just one more spiritual leader among others, one more of many teachers with interesting insights, these words are an earthquake, shaking the foundation of such ideas. And any attempt to believe that a type of part-time discipleship, following Jesus when it's easy and convenient to be our model, that just won't do. These words that we hear today from Jesus, these challenging words, are an earthquake, shaking the foundations, hopefully getting our attention. Because it's not just the teachings of Jesus that a disciple follows. It's Jesus Himself that a disciple follows. We cannot reduce Christianity to just a set of rules to follow, as important as those rules may be. We cannot reduce Jesus to simply one spiritual leader among many from which to choose from. If these are the foundation of our faith, then these words in Luke's gospel come to challenge them, to shake them. And if Jesus is saying stuff like this, along with, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, this is my body, this is my blood, my flesh is real food, my blood is real drink. Those who can take part of this will live forever." If he's saying stuff like this along with the things about hating your family in order to follow him, then I think there are only three options that we can look at that could be possibly legitimate. One is that he is an ego-driven narcissist who is dangerous and must be avoided. The second is that he's insane. Anybody making these kind of claims we would run into today, we would not take them seriously. The third option is that he is whom the scriptures proclaim him to be. The living word of God the Father made flesh for our salvation. The incarnate word, God the Son, the human face of the Father's mercy. He is whom we will in a few moments stand up at attention and proclaim him to be in the creed. God from God, light from light, true God from true God, who for our salvation came down from heaven and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. We should see these words as an earthquake, shaking us out of indifference, shaking us out of unbelief. Look at it another way. See that Jesus is the center of the greatest love story ever told, ever experienced, ever lived. God the Creator loves us, wants to save us from our sins, for we cannot save ourselves, wants us in heaven, and sends God the Son to make the means of this possible, to make it happen. This love, this relationship, is to become the very center of the life of a disciple. And all the other things in the life of a disciple, all those relationships with family and work and elsewhere, are to be seen from this viewpoint. All the wealth, all the possessions, all the status in society, from this viewpoint. Now also remember, in the culture of Jesus, the human family that you were part of was everything. You didn't have a last name. If you're a man, you're typically known as the son of, insert the name of your dad. Your family defined your identity. It defined your status in society. It defined your place in the world. And without a family, you're nothing. So Jesus' words today are an earthquake, shattering this understanding of what it means to be a family. Being His disciple defines our identity. It defines our place in the world. We see this in a profound way in the letter we hear today from St. Paul to Philemon. It's a unique letter for two reasons. One, it's the shortest of any part of the New Testament. It'll take you maybe about 3 minutes to read through the whole thing. Also, unlike the other letters of St. Paul, they're not addressed to a community of people, such as the Christians in the city of Corinth or Rome or Ephesus or so on. It's addressed to an individual, a man named Philemon who is a Christian. And they're talking about a man named Onesimus, who is also a Christian, who's become a Christian because of St. Paul. Onesimus is a slave, and Philemon is his owner. And Onesimus has run away, and now Paul is sending him back, and he urges Philemon, do not see him as your slave, as property, to be bought and sold and bartered as you wish, but see him as a brother in Christ. Keep in mind, at various times, by some estimates in the Roman Empire, one person out of four was a slave. And slave owners had absolute power over their slaves, the power of life and death. So Paul says to Philemon, receive him not as a slave, but as your brother in Christ. That's an earthquake. God gets our attention in many different ways. And one of them is through the authentic discipleship of a life lived in Christ as we hear described today. One such disciple was canonized earlier today in Rome. Saint Teresa of Calcutta. Some of us have been waiting a long time to be able to say that. It's official. By the way, we have prayer cards in the vestibule for you to take. Particularly for the Catholics of a certain generation, she was a living saint. Embodied, lived out what we talk about, what we preach about, she lived. By the way, she visited Tulsa in 1976, Holy Family Cathedral. There are people around today who met her, who talked with her, who, Eli, you're one of them, hand went up, so, who prayed with her. Just one case with her of a well-known example of a disciple for whom Jesus was the defining relationship, who left everything to follow Him, and by lived example, made His love known, made it present, made it real to the poorest of the poor. And that continues to be the mission of her religious community that she founded, the Missionary Sisters of the Poor. That lived witness is an earthquake, shaking foundations. And for that reason, this may be hard to understand, for many. Not everybody admires her. There are some who, in fact, hate her. Go out of the way to heap scorn upon her. They are atheists, and not all atheists are like this, but for those atheists for whom their unbelief has become their religion, they go to great lengths to discredit her, to libel her as a fraud. The one who manipulated the poor for her own good, for her own celebrity status. Got to wonder, like, why? I mean, we're all supposed to get along, right? You know, those coexist bumper stickers we see? Has all the religious symbols, you know, coexist? We're supposed to all coexist, right? So why heap scorn and hatred on this Albanian nun who helped the poorest of the poor in India? I think it's because the power of her authentic discipleship of the love of Jesus Christ made real threatens the foundation of their unbelief. If she was right, then they're wrong. and that's an earthquake. And for the same reason, it should threaten our desire to live a comfortable form of Catholicism, of being part-time disciples. Now, we, I hope, will not shower her with scorn, but instead we are tempted to do something else, which in some ways I think is even worse. The temptation is to reduce her to a saint of wood and plaster instead of flesh and blood. For she, at times, great times in her life, long time period, struggled in periods of spiritual darkness. But she was one who continued to love Jesus, the Word made flesh, whose love had been an earthquake in her soul and transformed her and made her His own. It's a strong temptation to make her into wood and plaster. But she was flesh and blood, the same as you and me. The same call to discipleship and to carry that cross was offered to her, is offered to you and me. And we don't have to go to India to be disciples whose lives are a witness of that divine love. As St. Teresa herself said, we are not called to be successful, we are called to be faithful. We may not do great things, but we can do small things with great love. We can do that by being faithful to Jesus. Faithful to the vocation of our discipleship on our own place and time, within our families, within our parish, within our communities, our schools, our neighborhoods, our workplace. For God does want our attention. Calling us to this time of right worship at this altar, to receiving that divine love in the Eucharist and the state of grace. Calling us to be true disciples. For God calls out to us to get our attention. Calling us to be His church. Calling us to put that relationship of love with Him, that love to touch us, to transform us, and to make us His own.